I hope you hear this prayer from David to understand that when we displease God, it ought to affect us pretty bad. We ought to be begging God for mercy. When we don't do the things and live the way He wants us to, we ought to say, God, what is man that You're mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that Thou take notice of him? That You make us a little lower than the angels? Lord, why would You even consider us when we are so willfully disobedient people? We have our own hearts, our own mind, our own will, and this thing that free will that God gives us seems to plague us our whole life. But it doesn't plague us. I promise you, it keeps bringing you back to the throne of mercy. And each time you come back, God welcomes you and says, you're welcome here. I've never rejected you, never refused you, never considered you not my child. And yet sometimes we're so hesitant to come. Because maybe this time we've done too much or we went too far. But Scripture is very clear that where the sin increased, grace increased all the more. And sometimes we forget what God has done for us. And we look in our lives, and when someone confesses before us a weakness or a strength, or in fear does not, because they're not sure that it'll fall in safe territory. I promise you that forgiveness is the toughest thing that we can receive from God, because we also are compelled to share that same forgiveness with others. I was working through something called Overcomers in Christ yesterday evening. And I thought, well, I'm doing pretty good until I started the program. I only got through about a page 100 or so, and I said, Lord, I'm nothing but dirt. Maybe you don't see yourself that way, but God says that He can raise children of Abraham out of rocks. I don't know about you, but it takes hard work for God to get you to be His child. That He's got to change your heart, establish a new heart in you, to make you a new creation in Christ. That takes some work. It takes time. What the devil's done in, he's got to undo. The patterns and habits that we've established, God can change them. He can change our hearts. But please listen to what David prays. He says, change me. I know I'm not perfect. Change me. He's begging God to make him a new person inside. To restore the joy of God's salvation. Because when you displease God and violate His Word, you're not happy anymore and you can't find peace. It's like as if you've let down your best friend. I identify with this passage so much, and there's another story in the New Testament of a man we call Didymus. I could tell you a lot about this man Didymus because he's a twin. Maybe you don't get this, but with twins, if one has something and the other doesn't, the one that doesn't have it thinks they did something wrong. Well, you gave it to him. Would you do it for me too? I cannot buy a birthday present for one without getting the same thing, maybe a different color, for the other. But I want to share with you that Thomas, this man in the New Testament who was a doubter, always said, I've got to see it to believe it. I've got to feel it and experience it. Because I'm the one who was always left out. And I want to share with you that when Jesus saw Thomas in that upper room with those disciples and He prescribed exactly what Thomas said for his cure for his doubts, what Thomas said. And we read this as the first affirmation ever of Jesus. He says, my Lord and my God. But don't miss that. Because in that confession, I believe he was weeping. because he'd been so hard-hearted. And he falls on his knees and says, "You are. And I've missed so much time with you. I've chosen my way, my plans, my life, my things I want, instead of trying to please you, and you've been there all along. And you are, Lord. And at the same time, you're my God, and I didn't listen. I've missed so much time." From that time, he didn't doubt anymore. And he went to preach, and he had powerful testimony. And he could say, "I was an idiot because I didn't listen. Don't follow my steps. Listen to him." You remember what God said to his son and about his son when he came up from the water? "This is my son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when we violate God's principles, we come to the place where David says, "I need mercy. Don't cast me away because you're all I got and I forgot. I took my eyes off you and I took and did what I wanted to do. Don't cast me away. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. That's all I got. And yet, my own carelessness and my own behavior, I can't blame Bathsheba. She didn't do it. I did what I did." There's so many people who do not take responsibility for their own lives. Our jails are filled with them. What is it that takes us to the throne of grace and mercy to finally say, "I need this. I can't live without it. I'm not compromising my standards. What I have in Jesus is non-negotiable. I cannot change. I will not be different for anybody else. I will live according to what I believe." Boy, what a world we'd have. What a world we'd have if that was the case, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be awesome if we had everybody believing that way? There'd be no sickness, no poverty. There'd be nobody homeless or without loving families. Sounds ideal. Sounds like a pipe dream, like a utopia. But I want to tell you something, that we as Christians are promised that. And we live less than that. And shame on us. We live less than the blessing of God. God has an entire kingdom. And I want to tell you something, there's no room in that kingdom for feeling like you want to die. For feeling like you don't have enough. For feeling like you can be depressed and God says that's okay. God says that He has deliverance to heal in Jesus Christ in His kingdom. There is no room for deceit, lies, or wickedness in there. We have compromised what God promises us and we've done it willfully. God tells us we can be free. We got all the blessings. And we say, "God, I just, you know, I'm just happy to have a little bit here and have a blessing there. And then one day, I know I'll be completely healed in your kingdom." Do you not know that God's kingdom consists of what? Anybody know what the Scripture says? Of power. Of strength. In the inner man. God's kingdom establishes you there. His kingdom has authority over everything on this earth. In the name of Jesus, we have authority over everything. We don't take it. We think we don't deserve it. Or we think we don't have it. As long as we continue status quo, allow the schools to push us out, allow the commandments to be pulled off the courtroom walls and stand idly by because we don't think we have authority to take advantage of this power. But it says that God has given us the spirit of power, of freedom, of a sound mind. And yet we continue to live weak. And David sees that he's compromised what God has promised by being with Bathsheba. And he says, God, have mercy on me. I thought this was better. I believed what the world said. What my body said was good instead of what you said. Look at me. I've sinned before you. Yes, I've sinned with her, but I've sinned before God because He is my rock and my guide, and I didn't listen. That's what David said. And he knows the source of healing. He knows the only source. He says, wash me, God, and I'll be whiter than snow. I can make apologies. I can make amends. I can tell people I've been wrong and do all I can to make it up. But if God doesn't wash me, I'm not clean. The sin remains with me. My mind keeps plaguing me with it. But when God comes in and washes you, He wipes out the transgression. But He doesn't say, okay, do it again. He says, the reason you feel so horrible is so you won't repeat it. It's the Holy Spirit's conviction. And I share with you, so much is in this text that there's not a whole lot that isn't in this passage that would really, really touch you if you really started meditating on Psalm 51 this week and just praying it. But he says, and this is what I want to share with you, and this is what the Lord has put on my heart, is that verse where he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That word right is steadfast in the Hebrew. It means a spirit that is constant. That I don't go here with the blow of the wind that way. I don't go here with the blow of the wind that way. But I remain constant with my eyes on God. That I go forward. And that's tough. Sometimes that's tough. Sometimes that hurts because we don't get to do what we want to do because our will doesn't line up with God's. And then we have to say, look at me, God, search me, as Psalm 139 says, and see if there's any wicked way in me. Try me and find out. Because if I can't agree with what God wants from me, and this is the point that David says, if I can't agree with what God says is right for me, there's something wrong with me. Not with God's Word. It makes sense, doesn't it? If I can't agree with God, who is making the mistake? Never been wrong. In the Bible, God's Word is always proved true. Proved true. Proved true in everybody's life that trusts Him. It's proven. And if I can't agree with it, or I say, well, I just don't know if I can do that, Scripture says you can. God built you so you could. Well, now we want to argue with God, don't we? You say, I can do it, God, but I can't do that. And God says, then come to me and get source of strength. I can't defeat this in my life. Good! Come to God. He'll help you. He'll do it for you. And if He doesn't do it for you, it'll be your sign of weakness to keep you before the throne all the time. Well, that's just not fair, is it? God's going to make me come to Him. But I want to be self-sufficient. Of course we do. Of course we do. But we're not built to be that way. I want to share with you that sometimes it's tough to hear God's Word because it makes us want to change or else hide for a while. And this week on Monday, God showed me something I didn't want to hear. Do you know how He got me to listen? This is what he said. He said, have I ever not loved you? Have I ever done anything to hurt you? Have I ever done anything to betray my trust? And I said, no, never. And he said, then why would I ever start? Listen to me. Has God ever done anything to betray your trust, to lie to you, to hurt you or deceive you? And if so, you're kidding yourself. When He asks you to do something or gives you a precept, receive it in love. It's a lot easier to take with sugar. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, You love us so much. Why it is we resist that love sometimes makes no sense to me, but I do it too. But today, Lord, when You come calling, may we call and see the wonders that we do not know, because we just don't understand a love like Yours. But we can. We can know You even as we are known. So let us come boldly before Your throne in weakness and find mercy, forgiveness, strength, and healing. Thank You, Lord. Holy Spirit, have Your way with us now. In Jesus' name, amen.